This is the national anthem of Grenada, Grenada, in the Eastern Caribbean Sea. Frank Corkwell is calling home for us from there this morning. It's your traditional, typical tropical paradise, 348 square kilometres, about the same size in land area as Palmerston North, but with more people, 120,000 or so. They drive on the left-hand side. There's the Prime Minister. King Charles is the head of state. Frank Corkwell is originally from Northland, and he's really been around the world since he left us. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning to you. It's actually late afternoon here, but good morning.
Yeah, good morning or good afternoon. You've lived away from us for a long time, Frank. How long now?
I guess a bit over 36 years. I mean, I basically left New Zealand when I was 21 after completing my mechanical engineering apprenticeship and very little time since then spent in New Zealand.
You've worked in about 40 countries, I was reading, and you've visited about 140. And that may be a calling home record. So that's amazing. You've really been around the world, across the world.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I mean, starting from, operating with Care Australia in Bosnia, then to Iraq, and then to Africa, supporting the operation and following or even during the Rwandan genocide in Zaire. Yeah, from there, I joined the Great Lakes team in Africa. I set up stuff in Tanzania. I spent the best part of 12 years in Africa and visited most of it either through work or sort of through proximity for holidays.
You've mentioned a couple of countries where being in might be a bit tricky at times. Have you ever been in danger? Have you ever had to run risks?
Yeah, I guess there's been moments. I don't know. I think the human psyche is quite adaptable to that, and you become blasé to it very quickly. I mean, of course, Rwanda, Zaire had some challenging moments. Bosnia had some.
Yeah.
I guess Iraq as well. I mean, Iraq got pretty hostile. I mean, I spent three terms in Iraq in the 90s, 2000s, and then 2010s. Different risks at different times. And then, of course, the risks associated with civil unrest or earthquakes, tsunamis. So it's sort of been a bit of a mix of it all before I ended up in the Caribbean best part of 6 years ago.
Yeah, I bet you've got some stories to tell. Well, you're in a pretty peaceful place now in Grenada, aren't you?
Yeah, no, Grenada's an exceptional country to live. Very peaceful country, lovely people, and the Caribbean in general. I've really enjoyed my time in this region.
Well, you deserve it after some of the other places you've been to. Is it a little insect? It's not distracting, it's quite charming. Is there a little insect behind you, or what's that little noise?
Yeah, so I'm on a fairly large balcony overlooking a harbour here, Benji Bay in Grenada, and there's a little bird's nest about 6 or 7 meters from me. And these are the chicks calling out to their mother to bring them some food.
You get three islands for the price of one, as it were, don't you, where you are? Grenada's the biggest of three islands.
That's correct, yeah. You have Carriacou and Petite Martinique as well.
Okay. And I know it's a destination for cruise ships. And when you get off the cruise ship, you can take a little red sightseeing train, I see, that toots along.
Yes, there's that. I mean, they have a underwater sculpture park. There's lots of chocolate gets made here as well. A little known fact, this is the second biggest exporter of nutmeg. And it's called the Spice Island because they also do cinnamon and various other spices. But chocolate's a big thing. So tourists can come and have a look at the chocolate factories, the process of making chocolate, how they deal with nutmeg, the dryings, and the preparation for that. And then, of course, you've got wonderful beaches, great diving, and, the Caribbean food experience as well.
Yeah, I'm quoting, tasting tours of three award-winning rum distilleries, sampling organic chocolate, as you said, at five chocolate factories. Gee, so you could stagger your way around Grenada on a full tummy if you really wanted to.
Absolutely. I mean, the Caribbean, when it comes to rum, is a big thing, and Grenada is no exception there. It's a beautiful, lush island. Most of it's covered in vegetation. It's mountainous, volcanic. It has rivers and waterfalls, which is, not in all of the Caribbean, but in the more volcanic areas.
Frank Corkwell is calling home for us from Grenada. Now, you said you're in Benji Bay. Frank, I found the Benji Bay Apartments complex for sale, brand new. It looked like 10 small apartments with a big one for the owner to live in, $1.5 million New Zealand. It sounded like a bargain. What sort of rent would you get? Does that arrangement sound like you'd be able to pay off the mortgage?
That sounds like a very cheap one. I'm not sure which one you're referring to, but there's a lot of investment coming into Grenada, and that's one of the reasons why I'm here. I mean, rents here are quite high. There's a disparity, of course, like most of the world these days, between the haves and have-nots. But if you want to rent something decent here, you're going to be spending for a studio probably the best part of $1,000 US a month, than for a house with three bedrooms anywhere upwards from $2,000 US a month.
Okay. It does sound like a bit of a bargain, that apartment complex. All right, you were in Barbados, which isn't far away, for a few years. What took you to that part of the world originally?
So I've been working on and off for the UN since very early 90s. I mean, I started in Bosnia in 1992. And through connections and my sort of expertise in supply chain over the years, I was brought here for a new office that they set up as a result or in response to the Irma and Maria hurricanes that tore apart some of the islands in the Caribbean, particularly Dominica, Antigua, Barbuda, as well as some others. But those ones were heavily affected. And then they WFP, or the World Food Program, decided to set up an office in Barbados, enabling the enablers through UN support, I suppose you could say. And the reason, I guess, Barbados was chosen is it's a little bit off the hurricane path. And also you have all of the embassies, international representation is in Barbados.
You're doing important work now. You're out on your own, I think. You're CEO of Green Feeds. You are bringing farming back to the Caribbean, I was reading. Can you explain more to us?
Yeah, this has been a passion of mine for quite a long time. I've been following the BSF industry for probably the best part of 12 years, the black soldier fly industry, which is using insects to convert waste streams into protein for animal feed and a byproduct, which is high-quality fertilizer. I see there is a couple of small startups in New Zealand doing similar things. And the subspecies which exists in the Caribbean is the same one as New Zealand, oddly. I mean, they're all the same creature, but they have been. There are subspecies of them. And on top of that, we do drying and hydrolyzation of waste streams as well. Hydrolyzation is basically a large pressure cooker that you can put waste from abattoirs and feathers and things in to make components for animal feed and for fertilizer.
Okay. So our flies are much the same as your flies. That's what you were saying then.
Yes, this particular species here, the black soldier fly, they've been growing and growing. When I first started following them, I think it was like a $10 million investment, and now it's a multi-billion dollar industry.
Wow. So you collect animal waste and the insects help convert it to fertilizer. So the local region is the market for the fertilizer?
Absolutely. I mean, I think as a result of COVID, a lot of the poultry, pig farmers stopped producing here because the cost of feed was prohibitive. So now our intention is to try to bring that back by producing feed using local materials. So anything organic, pretty much. And we're using it as a pilot that we can then explore to sort of cut and paste around the region.
So your ambition is self-sustaining Caribbean islands with a greater range of food, basically.
A greater range of animal feed and fertilizer. And then to allow countries to be more self-sufficient and bring back those farmers by being able to provide that feed and fertilizer for a lower cost.
Yeah, gotcha.
Because it's around 70% of the cost of raising poultry or pigs is the feed cost.
Gee, that much. You mentioned the multi-billion industry it's becoming. Where's the finance coming from for you?
At the moment, I'm working with a multitude of different private sector, philanthropy, and support from the government of Grenada as well. I would love dearly to be able to go to places like Guyana, Trinidad, Jamaica, these countries with large populations and enormous amounts of bio waste that we can then convert, empowering local people with the skills and knowledge to sort of take it forwards.
You have a great vision, Frank. Frank Corkwell talking to us from Grenada in the Caribbean. All those years ago, where did you grow up exactly in New Zealand?
I grew up in Mangorodo. I
Oh,
was
yeah.
born in Paparoa at the foothill of the Brunduins, basically on the road out to Dargaville, the first town. I grew up on a farm. We were sheep and beef farmers in an area that was predominantly dairy. Then I did an apprenticeship in mechanical engineering, and that's sort of been useful throughout my life, I guess. But I've been off on a bit of a tangent. I've spent most of my life doing logistics, supply chain, and a bit of construction in far off places with little infrastructure. So I guess that stuff came in handy. The farming background, of course, is a great one too, because farmers in New Zealand are very inventive of finding ways to be able to do things with very little, particularly in the age that I grew up in,
Yeah.
right? In the 70s and 80s. So I think that all contributed to the abilities that the Kiwis bring. And there is a lot of Kiwis floating around the aid industry. I mean, I ventured off as well. I get sort of the need to just to check that my blood is red again, and went into the private sector. I ran an iron ore mine in the Congo, Brazzaville, Congo,
Wow.
a crushing operation, road building operation in South Sudan, and various other things along the way.
Gee, you haven't shied at going to the trouble spots of the world, have you? You've been in just about all of them, from what I can ascertain.
Yeah, I guess you would say it's harder than what it was, but I would recommend anybody looking to do what I did would be to be in the right place at the right time, even if it means going to a difficult place and just saying, look, I'm here and I'm willing to work as a volunteer or to help you in any way I can to make that little jump.
Yeah, and that's probably great advice from you. But it is a jump. It doesn't sound like you've been back to New Zealand a whole lot. How much do you miss us?
No, I definitely miss New Zealand. And when I went back last time, which was 2017, of course I catch up with those people that I've stayed in touch with in New Zealand, which is sort of dwindling. But yeah, good friends that I met from school, family, went up fishing in the Three Kings, something that I always dreamt to do in New Zealand. So yeah, with those opportunities, I mean, apart from catching up with family and friends, just doing a few of the things that I couldn't do when I was a teenager or very early 20s. When I was there. So there's lots of good reasons to still come home.
On Grenada, do you go fishing? Do you have your own boat? I imagine you're out on the water a bit.
Yeah, I know. When I first came here, I rented a boat because Grenada's got all these safe harbors in the western end of it. So it's full of boats during the hurricane season. So I rented a boat and stayed on it for the rest of the hurricane season. And now I've moved to land, but I don't have a yacht or anything. I do have a dinghy. So for me to go to a lot of the bars and restaurants and places around here, it's actually faster to go by dinghy than by car. So it's very convenient to have that.
I'm just quoting from one website or another, I forget which one. Visitors can dive into the turquoise waters to discover the world's first underwater sculpture park, zip line through tropical rainforests, or take in the lush scenery in a dune buggy tour. And you've mentioned those, but can you tell us more, please, about the underwater sculpture park? Because I did look it up and it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I have not actually dived or even snorkeled it, but one of the locations that I go to on Thursdays, they have a 2 EC. So the currency in the Eastern Caribbean is called the EC. It's about 2.5 of them to a US dollar, and that they had the sculptors making the new sculptures that were adding to the existing sculpture park. And they were absolutely brilliant. Of course, you can't help but see pictures of it wherever you go here. But I think it's something that I definitely need to do. But the quality of these concrete, I think they're mostly concrete sculptures, was absolutely amazing.
So a whole lot of people down under the sea doing all these different things. There's a bloke at a desk doing something I couldn't fathom. Excuse the pun. And the nutmeg princess holding nutmegs. Some of these sculptures are just beautiful, aren't they? They're just beautiful things.
And I think it is one of the more popular things to do for visitors that come here. And a lot of people do come here for diving because the diving's excellent. The clarity of the water, if it's not raining too much, is is absolutely brilliant as well. And the water's warm.
Yeah, the water's warm. And just before we leave the sculptures, better to dive down. You're alluding to this than just see them from a glass-bottomed boat. But you can go out and just look through the bottom of the boat and get a good idea too, can't you?
Yes, there are some glass-bottom boats here. There's catamaran cruisers, there's dive boats, big ones, small ones. You can come here and charter a yacht with or without a captain. If you're into water sports, and as Kiwis probably have more yachts per capita than just about anybody else in the world, if you wanted to do the Caribbean experience, I couldn't recommend it higher. I mean, these islands across the Caribbean, particularly the Eastern Caribbean, they're only small distances apart. So you're never more than a day away from the next island with these beautiful anchorages, great food, a great experience. You could come up here and spend a couple of weeks, visit six or seven countries, and really nail the bucket list if that happened to be something that might be on it.
And the food, actually, as you say, would be nice. Do you eat out a lot there?
I eat out, yeah, very often, actually. I mean, tonight I'm cooking at home, but probably more often than not, I go out for dinner. And it's relatively cheap, unless you want to eat really imported things. So if you wanted New Zealand lamb, so to give you an idea, I was going to buy a lamb today, a roast, and a hind leg lamb roast was about the best part of 170 EC. You'd have to do the conversion for me. But I can remember as a kid, in the wool shed killing sheep to sell to, teachers and factory workers in the dairy factory. We would kill a whole sheep, cut it up, put it in a box, and I'd drop it off on the school bus for about $6 Kiwi. So you can imagine now a lamb roast costs you here 160 EC, which is probably somewhere in the vicinity of 100 New Zealand dollars.
Yeah, I can imagine you wouldn't want to be paying that sort of money. Do you have a favorite dish, particular to Grenada?
Well, Grenada is quite famous for its conch. So here they call it lambi, and a lambi curry is something that should be experienced at some point.
What's so good about a Lambie curry? I know someone called Lambie. What's so different about a Lambie curry?
So lambi is kind of a bit like octopus or squid. I mean, in texture, it's kind of chewy, but they beat it before you cook it to break down the muscle sort of membrane within it. You can even just fry it up with some butter and onions, and it's very good.
Okay. How do people get around the island? How do you get around?
Well, now I have two options. I have a scooter and I have a dinghy. So I'm not young anymore, but I still enjoy that freedom of being on a dinghy or on a scooter.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Is it considered rude not to say hello to locals you encounter? I was reading. It's very friendly in that sense.
I mean, the Caribbean in general is very friendly. I would say Grenada is exceptionally so. And you get this feeling that when people say good morning or good afternoon, that it comes from the heart. You get this feeling that they really mean it. It's sort of not something you say on a default setting. I like that about Grenada.
Oh, gee, anybody would like that. Are there any downsides? You've got mosquitoes, and there's a bit of dengue fever on the island.
Yeah, there's a bit going around now. I had dengue actually in Barbados. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone. And we have these sand flies as well that they call no-see-ums because basically you don't see them. They're so small and they're a little bit itchy. A little bit like going to the South Island, I guess, down around the fjords here. You get these little biting sods as well. But dengue is a horrible thing. I had malaria 5 times as well, but that was all in Africa and it's very compact. The suffering is very similar.
Frank, where do you nip off to when you want to get off the island for a while?
Well, I've traveled quite a lot, so I don't have that sort of need to nip off as much as I used to. I mean, if I was going to nip off now, it would probably be New Zealand or to visit institutions that are supporting my new project, the Green Feeds Project. So, I mean, I went to Finland, to Oulu, which is in the Arctic Circle, to look at a black soldier fly operation there. And I'm working with German companies and Dutch companies and companies out of the UK that are providing some of the technical support and equipment that we need to do this, because we're trying to do it kind of state of the art as well. So it'll be quite engineered, still creating employment, but not employment where it doesn't make sense. So yeah, that's sort of more my idea. I mean, I like it here as much as anywhere, really.
Gee, you go everywhere, don't you? Is it a lonely life in the sense that you're doing all these things, and obviously you're having meetings with all sorts of people? It's a social life, but it's a long way from home. Do you feel that kind of estrangement? I guess is what I'm asking.
I don't think so anymore. I would say that I'm reasonably social, but I'm still a nervous person in an interview or speaking in front of people or meeting ministers and officials in government. It's not my strength at all, but it's something that I've needed to do, and I guess it's improved over the years. But having lived more of my life outside of New Zealand and in it, yeah, no, I don't find it untenable.
No, you sound like a really good communicator. Will you ever come home?
I don't know if I have that sort of need to come home. I mean, it's always going to be home, and I still relate to things that, silly things that you do as a youngster, and sometimes as you get older. I mean, I'm now 56, so I still remember some of those things with absolute clarity. Rugby at a small ground with 100 people around it, basically the entire community comes out, or playing squash. I remember those with great positive feelings, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm not a nationalist in the sense that I'd have to come home. No, I do promote New Zealand.
Yeah, you're loyal. In any case, Frank, at age 56, you've got an awful lot of time ahead of you away from us, it sounds like, promoting this really interesting venture. So you're busy for a long time yet.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, just yesterday, actually, I was in contact with a Kiwi team that are working on the geothermal side of producing energy in the Caribbean. They have done already some fantastic work in Dominica. They're now exploring Grenada, St. Vincent, St. Lucia, and probably some other countries that I may have missed. So I do meet up with these guys every now and again, and largely thanks to our regional ambassador or high commissioner, who's introduced me to all kinds of people in my backyard that I didn't even know were here.
Good luck with green feeds and everything that you do there. So you're happy in your life. It sounds like a very nice place to be.
No, it definitely is, and I'd recommend it to anybody who's willing to travel as far as the Caribbean, particularly if you like anything to do with the sea. Nice and warm during winter as well. A great escape.
A great escape. Lovely to talk to you. Our thanks to the bird as well, but I think the bird's been fed now, has it? Stop chirping.
Yes, yeah, dusk now, so the sun's almost gone down, so I think they've given up on the parents bringing anything more today.
All right, that's the answer. Very nice to talk to you, Frank. Thank you for showing us around Grenada, which you did really, really well. And all the best for the future.
Thanks very much.